And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And again, thank you to Barbara Haggerty. Mind your own business from 2 to 3 every third Tuesday of the month. Now, I am really excited because one of our older shows, the Business Innovation Panel, has two new members. Spencer Tharnock will not be here today, and I hear the crowd, they're sad. Where's our sound effects when I need them? Okay, anyway, we're going to introduce our two new panel members on the Business Innovation Panel. And, of course, innovation is what I think, really because of the downturn economy, you got to do something different, something above your self-imposed limitations. Innovation, and we'll define it later, but it's really stemming from the meanings of significant and profound changes, and that's what's needed when there's a contracting economy. So we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. But let's right now introduce, in this corner, sounds like a sport event.
Yes, it does.
Jim Holmes from Mobile Touch Team. Tell us, first of all, welcome to the Business Innovation Panel.
Welcome. Thank you very much. Oh, there is that sound. There's that sound we've been looking for. Yeah.
Yeah, you get the applause. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, David. I appreciate being on today.
Wow, you have a great radio voice.
Oh, I do? Wow.
No, right? Laura, will introduce
us? He really
us?
Does.
Wow, this is very good. It looks like I will not have a job soon. But anyway, and then, of course, to your right, to my left, we have the lovely... Oh, that was nice.
Oh, yes.
The lovely Laura Shepherd from Stonebridge Bookkeeping. Welcome to the show and being a panel member.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, you have a lovely voice, too. That leaves, they're going to be fighting for my job, Kurt. What do I do? I don't know what to do. Anyway, this is exciting because we're here to help people, give them insights, information, education, inspiration and motivation, that is what's needed. And really, listeners need to take note of this. Stop doing the same thing over and over again and expecting what?
Same results.
Yeah. Or even different results.
Different results, actually. Yeah. Different
results. That's a definition of insanity.
Insanity, it is.
So we're going to talk today about what does it take in today's economy to be your best and really to succeed and flourish in a down economy. See, a lot of people think that's not possible. Mm-hmm. They think it's doom and gloom, and if it's doom and gloom by the media and they see statistics supporting it, they think there's nothing they can do. They give up before they even start, and that's our topic. Before we get into that, however, let's go to Laura first. Tell us a little bit about you and your company. I know you're a great entrepreneur. You have the entrepreneurial spirit. I love it.
I do. I've always had an entrepreneurial drive, and I've tried a lot of things. And my business, Stonebridge Bookkeeping, we are a month-to-month bookkeeping service provider. We love to help our clients. That is a huge goal of ours. It's not just, you know, putting the numbers in and getting out a financial report. It's really about helping our clients. But in addition to being bookkeepers, we are certified public bookkeepers, and that is a huge accomplishment in our field and comes with a lot of credentials.
There's no doubt, and what really comes to mind when you're talking about this is quality. And mm-hmm. quality goes a long way, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And not only that, is that you're really, that's part of the product, but you give so much above the product or service that you do. It's really some of the internal qualities of passion mm-hmm. for what you do can really ignite people's own passion and flame to reach their full potential.
People don't understand and really seriously don't get it. My husband doesn't even get it, that accounting can be fun. And we have like one of the really most fun practices out there, I think.
I've never been invited to a party. What's going on here? Jim, have you?
No.
Then I don't feel so bad.
Hey, we should be looking forward to it, though. It sounds great.
I mean, we laugh all the time. It's, you know, you really have to bring fun with you in any job that you have, in anything that you're doing, you have to bring the fun with you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. What meanings you attach to what you do is very important. And if you attach, you know, happiness and joy and fun, you can really liven up any particular industry, any industry that has a stereotype of something different. But but everyone has control and choice of how they attach meaning to any particular event.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Boy, absolutely. That's a great way of looking at something. I mean, at life even.
You know, absolutely.
Everyone has choice.
There's no question, and that would serve people so well in this down economy, mm-hmm. to know they have the choice. Now, let's go to Jim, Mobile Touch Team. I love that. That's like MTP versus MTV.
Yeah. Only it's more powerful. Well, we think it is. Thanks so much. I really appreciate that. David, what we're all about is we are a company that is involved in helping small to medium-sized local businesses grow their businesses through using a different form or different medium of marketing that's never been done before, and that is using smartphones to go ahead and market your business to arrive at or reach out for new customers, as well as also going ahead and helping find people who have already been customers and then getting them back into a loyalty plan to help you grow your business as a small person. A lot of traditional marketing has gone for years and years, such as newspapers and magazines and television, and they have their effective place. But for a small business or a medium business that's in a local market, it's really very cost prohibitive for them to get involved in this and to get a reasonable return. And that's what we offer, is a new way for businesses to grow. A new way to see how to go ahead and let their market know about them and to grow their business. And that's very exciting in a down economy, because this is not a lot of money, and yet this is a way to go ahead and really help America grow by seeing small local businesses grow and be strong.
And what you're really describing is really innovation, and this is the Business Innovation Panel. I mean, innovation generally refers to the creation of better or more effective products, processes, technologies, or ideas that affect markets. And, and that's what you're talking about.
That's exactly right.
And if people don't get on board and get ahead of the curve, I can't even imagine what's going to happen to them, but I don't think it's going to be good.
No, it's not. I mean, and how many, if you're picking up the papers and you're seeing television, how many commentators and writers are talking about jobs going away in America? And so we have to create our own jobs, and we have to create wealth. And as you said so well, David, choice. We have that choice as Americans still to be able to do that. And that's exciting. Mm-hmm. We can go ahead and create wealth. We can take care of our families if we so choose to do so, rather than sitting back and saying, oh, gosh, this economy's just wiped me out.
There's no question about that. And part of choice, and we'll get into sort of the content of what we're talking about here is to create upgraded skills. Because, see, the way I see it, and we'll get commentary from both of you, is that because of the high unemployment, because of new ways, or really the world's a different place now, the people with higher skill sets will be able to create their opportunities anytime, any place, anywhere. If you stay pat, as they say is that in poker? Or I stand?
Yeah, I think that is. That I think that is, David.
Something like that. Or is that gin rummy? Or is that gin vodka?
Rummy.
Might be just beer.
Could be gin rummy.
But, I mean, you stand pat, meaning you remain neutral. You don't do anything. You know, the competition for the average job is going to be astronomical. You need to improve your skills, and to do that, you need to improve your mindset. So in terms of that, might be one of the main ingredients right now, is how you flourish in today's economy. And I know, Laura, you're doing something like that. You're really creating a whole educational piece to really increase people's skills.
Absolutely. We have, in our community, we have a lot of bookkeepers, and they're doing the same old thing and really not expanding their skill set and their understanding of, you know, what's needed in our profession. And so we have a certification program where, you know, you have to have a lot of skills coming into this. You can't be a newbie, you know, bookkeeper coming into this. You have to have a very thorough knowledge of accounting principles. And then, you know, we're teaching people how to apply this in all kinds of, you know, working with clients and all kinds of client scenarios, and making sure that they really do have a thorough knowledge and understanding of accounting principles, and then carrying that forward to day-to-day accounting and managing all of those crazy scenarios that clients come up with. And I've seen some really crazy scenarios that clients come up with. And we have to be able to say, okay, you know, this is the accounting principle in theory that should work here, but now how do I fix this? How do I make this work? So I want to make sure that all bookkeepers are operating under the same level, because unfortunately there's no entity that governs bookkeepers. There's nobody saying you're not up to par and so you shouldn't be doing this. And so I want to create that in our community. So setting some standards.
And what you're also creating, you know, way above, again, your product or service, which is accounting and good quality, is integrity. And what you're really attracting, I should say, those who want to go further, mm-hmm. who want to have the highest mm-hmm. integrity and want to grow to their full potential. That is what you're really creating, mm-hmm. that type of environment. That's what the world needs. Am I right?
Sure, Kevin? That's absolutely right. Because at this day and time, people are they're not really looking for shortcuts, because they've seen so much of that in the government and in big business and everything else. People want to have the confidence that integrity is there, mm-hmm. and that you are bringing something to the table that they can rely upon and mm-hmm. feel safe about. And that's what you're offering, and I think that's great.
You know, aside from, you know, setting those, and what we're wanting to do is set some standards, because mm-hmm. there are really good bookkeepers out there, mm-hmm. but they're not all operating under the same standards, mm-hmm. you know, so we wanted to teach them and bring them up. But when a client's paying for us to provide a service, mm-hmm. or paying for a bookkeeper to provide service, mm-hmm. they need to know that the quality is there, that the information they're going to get back is viable information.
Laura, in line with that, don't most, not all CPAs require the same information or are looking for the same type of bookkeeper because of their specialty that they're in? Isn't that something that you come in contact with or deal with, is like a tax CPA versus an audit CPA, or somebody, or a traditional CPA who's just looking at giving a tax report at the end of the year? They require, don't they, certain types of standards or requirements that the federal government requires them to fill out to make sure that the forms are right? And if the CPA, I mean, if the bookkeeper is not doing it traditionally, the proper way, doesn't that create issues for folks?
Absolutely. And usually what ends up is the client has to pay more to their CPA to do the cleanup work and try to figure out what they've done all year long, as they've been doing it the wrong way. Then the client ends up paying a CPA a higher rate and more hours to clean it up and fix it so that it will comply with, you know, the forms that need to be filed.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And, Jim, it's true. It's that... Let me answer it this way also, is that whether you know, you specialize or concentrate in tax or audit or whatever it is, consulting, as a CPA myself and knowing a lot of CPAs, I think it's critical that it's not the type of bookkeeper, it's the quality of the bookkeeper that mm-hmm. matters. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and that is becomes more important, because not everyone's going to know everything, but that willingness to be able to do it right, the willingness to say, well, maybe I don't know that, but I'm willing to learn, mm-hmm. versus mm-hmm. just trying to put something hastily together, mm-hmm. and that will drive the CPA nuts, it'll drive the client nuts, it'll drive everyone nuts.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so you probably maybe have seen that at other places.
Yeah, it drives me nuts when I go to see a client who's perhaps, you know, changing bookkeepers, and I see things that are so wrong it just makes me shudder.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, there's no doubt. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the newest panel members of the Business Innovation Panel. And, of course, we have Jim Holmes, Director of Mobile Touch Team, and Laura Shepherd, owner of Stonebridge Bookkeeping, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Business Innovation Panel, the third Tuesday of every month from 3 to 4. And our two newest panel members, Jim Holmes from Mobile Touch Team and Laura Shepherd, Stonebridge Bookkeeping. We've been talking about many different things. What does it take to be successful? And here's a question I will pose to both of you. What qualities does it take? This sounds like a game show in a way, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Okay, Kurt, what do they win? Okay, they're going to win the trip to Hawaii.
All right.
I just want to know, do I have to respond in the form of a question?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. Remember the Jeopardy thing? The answer is? Okay, how about this? The answer is depression. What is the question? Okay, so what qualities does it take to succeed? And let's take specifically, what states of mind will not support success?
I think the biggest, and especially in a down economy like we have right now, is the victim mentality.
Yeah.
The woe is me, you know. Yeah, you know, it's tough for everybody right now, but we have to create our own opportunities.
Absolutely.
And if you're sitting around going, oh, the economy's so bad, and you know, this didn't work, and you know, I tried to do this, and you have that victim mentality, you're never going to get out of where you are.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I agree,
and
too.
Yeah.
I agree.
And Jim, what do you notice? I mean, there's a lot of different states of mind, and some support success, some really are not very supportive.
Right. We've all heard about positive attitude and how that is such an important ingredient to go ahead and be successful. It is. It is imperative to have a positive mental attitude, but at the same time, there's a reality that we have to deal with too, and we can't go ahead and be Pollyanna or stick our head in the sand. We've got to be real about things such as marketing, which is where I live in my world, and if we have a business or a concept, and if we have no way to express how this is such a great concept or business to the marketplace that we're trying to reach, we have no plan, no vehicle to do it by. Even though we have the most positive attitude, we're still going to go ahead and fail. This day and time, marketing, and I'm not just saying my segment of it, but marketing is so important for companies to and for owners of businesses to understand. They need to live in that field rather than living inside their business. They need to have that understanding of being able to step away from their business and work on the concept of what am I doing to make my business better from a marketing standpoint? How am I going to get new customers? Because this is a down economy. Customers go away. I must replace them, mm-hmm. and I must also try and maintain.
You know, it's interesting. You said some really good stuff there, and I just took a few notes here. To me, what I see as a CPA is one of the first things companies cut out in a down economy is marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, on the other hand, is most of the companies don't know what marketing really is.
That's true, David.
So let me sidetrack a little bit,
sure.
Because what do you think the difference between marketing and sales are? I think a lot of companies, they focus on sales, and they call it marketing.
Right.
But what's the real difference?
David, that's a really great question, and it's a great observation. Sales is totally it should be separated. It should not be treated as marketing. The reason being is that marketing is what you do to plan how you're going to get sales.
Yeah.
Okay? And sales are then the execution of those plans. And that's really the simple way of looking at the difference between marketing and sales. If you don't plan, then you're not going to go ahead and execute properly to get the sales that you're counting on.
You know, that totally makes sense. I'm glad.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a very, really a well-worded way to describe the two. And part of the planning, I believe, and this is maybe where Laura comes in also, is education and training and increasing
absolutely.
Your skill sets.
Yep.
Because a lot of people bring their same skill sets in the sales part, and they're not very good skill sets. It's like, okay, when will you learn to upgrade your skills,
yep.
Laura? What
mm-hmm.
do you say?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really not the best person to talk about upgrading my skills in sales, and it's just
but
a really...
But just generally,
yeah.
I think, because you're about education.
Yes, we are, absolutely, and always improving yourself. Nobody
yeah.
has, you know, really the right. When you're in business, you don't have the right to sit on, you know, what
yeah.
you have and not develop it, because as we all know, and especially when it comes to technology, and Jim,
mm-hmm.
this goes back to marketing,
mm-hmm.
you know, 5 years ago, I don't know how far this really goes back, but I haven't seen those QR codes on marketing material,
they
you
weren't.
Know,
weren't
until very recently.
Yeah, they weren't.
And
yeah.
as a business owner, I'm not like the most technically advanced person, but I have to learn. I have to figure it out, because if everybody else is mm-hmm. coming up and they already mm-hmm. know this, I'm going to get left behind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
right.
and as a business owner, I can't afford to be left behind.
Not even close. And it shouldn't be just about competition. I always think that it should be about cooperation, because if the competition, I think, instills fear in people.
Yeah.
But my belief is there's more than enough to go around for every business. So that really moves you out of the competition mode to cooperation.
Is that, mm-hmm. David, could you expand on that, the term cooperation a little bit? Because that's it, when you said that kind of rang a bell inside me. But let's expand on that a little
yeah,
bit.
No, yeah, that's a great question. And is the way I see it is cooperation, basically you have the confidence that and the belief that since there's more than enough to go around, you can even help your competitors. I used to
mm-hmm.
give a lot
yeah.
of clients away to, and I still do, to competitors. Because
mm-hmm.
if you think about that, is that if you dig in and guard your turf,
mm-hmm.
And I see it with various people in life, maybe clients, other people's clients, where people may have so much money,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
would figure that if you had that much money, you would be on cloud nine.
Right,
most
right.
of the people are scared to death of losing it, so they hoard it,
mm-hmm.
and they have such fear around it, versus just enjoying it or enjoy investing it and having such great opportunities with it. It's a thinking style.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, when you were talking about community and not being afraid of those in your community who
yeah.
have the same skill set or the you know provide the same service that you do, that's one thing about what we're doing. People have said to me, you know, well, if you're a certified bookkeeper, and there's only like 12 in the state of Arizona
wow.
certified bookkeepers. So if you're a certified bookkeeper,
are you saying there's only 12 in the whole state?
In the whole state of Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
And I think we're honored to be right next to one.
Right.
Are we?
Wow!
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, really, I want to interject something here.
Oh.
Can I?
Yes, I definitely think you should, David.
Now, you know, every industry has stereotypes: attorneys, CPAs. You know, being conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Laura is beautiful. She does not look like a...
Breathtakingly beautiful.
Yes. Does she really look like the perception of a bookkeeper?
No, ladies and gentlemen.
No, the crowd says. All right. There's my commentary for today.
Well, thank you very much.
And
you're going to make me blush.
Yes,
thank
she's
you.
Blushing.
Yeah, see, there
yes,
you go.
She's blushing.
Now, back to my thought.
Yes.
Okay.
I've lost all my thoughts.
Me too.
Creating other certified bookkeepers, people have said to me, well, aren't you creating competitors? Absolutely, I'm creating competitors. And I want to, because you know what? When we all improve, when we all increase our standards, you know, when we're all doing better as a profession, that you know, impacts all of us. It makes us all look better. So if I create, you know, an entire state of certified bookkeepers, yay, you know, yay for all of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's really what I was saying, mm-hmm. the cooperation.
Absolutely.
Part.
You know, you can't be afraid of your competitors.
Yeah.
You know.
And you can help them, too. I mean, mm-hmm. why not? I think it's a great concept. Now, so some other states of mind that don't support success. We'll just do that for another minute and go to what states of mind do support success. And I could think of a few just to get it started a little bit. And this is maybe borderline because I'll tell you what it is, and then I'll tell you how Tony Robbins thinks about it. Frustration. Now, if frustration leads to paralysis, meaning not knowing what to do, just being stuck, maybe not, you know, like the deer in the headlights, maybe not good.
Kind of like the old saying, paralysis by analysis.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, absolutely. And now, frustration, according to Tony Robbins, means, and he attached a different meaning than most people, that, wow, I'm about to get a breakthrough. That means it shows excitement and opportunity. So it really changes from frustration to possibility. So so frustration, if it prevents you from doing things and it makes you unclear, that could be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think anxiety is another huge one.
Yeah.
You know, when you're out there going, oh my gosh, I got to do this. I got to succeed. I have to do this.
I got
to
make this sale.
That desperation is going to come across in your conversations. You're not going to come across as genuine to somebody that you're talking to.
Right.
You're going to come across as just so desperate for something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, desperation does not lead to good service, good quality service, good relationships.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree, Jim.
Yeah, I do too. One of the real tenets, I guess, in marketing and selling and just caring about other people is that caring, the word caring. If you go ahead and you're really focused when you're trying to, if you're going to make a sale, forget about making the sale. Care about what the other person's problem is, what they're trying to accomplish. Get that relationship started with them, and then you'll be, by going ahead and helping them, the sale will take care of itself.
You know, and we'll go on a break now, but after the break, I want to talk about exactly what you said, Jim. There was a famous, book about that. The World's Greatest Salesperson is actually the world's greatest car salesperson, Joe Girard, that talked about that the sale starts after the sale. And when we come back, we'll discuss that a little bit further.
Okay.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602 254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Business Innovation Panel with two new panel members, Jim Holmes, Director of Mobile Touch Team, and Laura Shepherd, Stonebridge Bookkeeping. We ended the last, just before the commercial break, about a great book, The World's Greatest, I think, Car Salesperson.
Car Salesman, I think it was.
Joe Girard, yeah. I think out of Detroit.
Detroit. He was out of Detroit.
Yeah, and he always said, and he proved it in a down economy, too, where the sale starts after the sale. Who wants to explain that, or do you want me to give it a shot? Oh, the pointing fingers go to
Jim.
Me? Oh, I was just going to point
at
you.
I'll explain it, then you guys come on in and do some commentary on this. What he's really saying is building a pipeline. He's saying, you know, people come in, yeah, you sell them, in his case, a car, but what can you do when they need your help? Mm-hmm. You know, make sure you pay attention to them after the sale, during service. If they have an issue, you're the first one there, not the service manager. Not the parts manager. You're there helping them.
The person. And
you help the person beyond even the sale.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's really the sale starts after the sale means you're fully engaged in that person's life as much as you can be, inspiring them, motivating them. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, Laura, about what can you give that's beyond your product or service. If people got that in today's economy, they would do very well. It's not about your product. It's about how you can give from your heart and soul. Jim, what do you say?
I totally agree with you. I think there's something else there too, David, and that is that when you meet somebody, let's say you're on a sales call and it's the first time you're meeting with somebody, I feel that it comes at that point where you're really reaching out for that person and saying, I am sincerely concerned and interested in how I can help you with your problem. With your concerns, what can I do? Tell me, I'm listening. I want you to know I'm focused on you. I'm listening to your problem and what your goal is and how I can be of service to you. I think that even comes before the sale itself. And if you can give that with sincerity and with real concern for that other person and building, and that in turn builds a relationship too. Then you're going to have a lot better opportunity not only to make the sale, but to keep the sale. Laura,
I was just going to make a comment about that. You know, one of the things that we do, and we're very, very dedicated to this, is when we go and we meet with a potential client, if they have a need that we can't meet, and my point is be willing to say no.
Right.
If you know that you really in your heart can't help this person. I've gone out and met with people who said, you know, hey, I want you to come in. I'm using QuickBooks. I want you to come in and just show me how to do this one thing. So I'm coming in to do some training. So I get in there, and I look at their QuickBooks, and I go, oh, my gosh. Okay, this is so bad. And I'll tell them, I really can't, in good conscience, tell you, you know, continue with this training mode at this time. Because you have some other issues here, and telling you how to enter in invoices and manage a customer is not going to help you.
Right.
Because you have bigger problems. So, you know, I wouldn't say it quite that way, but.
You just did. No, I'm kidding.
But you know what I mean. You know, you want to be able to really, in your heart, provide a good service to that client and be willing to say, this isn't a good fit, but let me get you a resource or let me steer you in the direction that is going to help you. Don't always be in there for the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Really be in there for the service with your heart.
Right.
That totally makes sense. Jim?
And that does. And I think if you go ahead and communicate to that person that you're really sincerely focused on what their problem is and what they're looking for, if you try to really, not try, but do understand what they're really trying to communicate to you about, let's say they're saying, in my case, in marketing, they're saying, I need more sales. Okay. Well, why? What are you doing now? Let's talk about that. Tell me what's happened there. Let me understand why somebody should come in and buy from you. Why would they want to buy from you? What are you doing to make them understand that you really want us to help them with a product or service or whatever? And that's the biggest thing, in that people then start feeling like, oh, gosh, yeah. Well, I want to make more money. Well, that's what we all do. But if you're not going ahead and really focused on the other person, and get out of yourself. That's the key to marketing, the key to sales.
Is the key to life.
The life. David, well put. Well put.
It just popped in my head. And but you know what, as I'm hearing both of you talk about this, it's your first thought. Are you there for them or are you there for you?
For them.
Yes, and if you can really get to that mindset, which is very possible,
mm-hmm.
And if you really learn how to be there for them, it's remarkable. It's really going along with some of the concepts that I think people intellectually believe, but they don't know how to embrace, is that, you know, the more you give, what happens?
The more you get.
Yeah. But you don't do it for that purpose. But it's sort of the law of the universe. It's like, well, when you give, you may, you know, you're going to end up probably rewarded somewhere. It may not be from that specific
right.
person
mm-hmm.
that
right.
you give to, but it's a mindset. It's a lifestyle.
It is
that
a lifestyle.
Serves
yeah.
you well.
Yeah, pardon me, Jim. When we're in an economy like we are, and everybody is doing everything that they can to produce as much as they can, you get into this shark mentality, and you forget. I think it's easy to forget the humanitarian side.
Yeah.
Right. Of, you know, you're still a human being even though you're in business. And my husband and I actually kind of have a little debate about this every once in a while, because I want to help people. I'm in business to make money, yes, but I also sure. really want to help people. And sometimes for me, it gets a little clouded. I get a little too far into that, you know, helping side.
So. Yeah, there's always a fine balance. Yeah, yeah,
right. There is.
Go ahead.
There is, yeah. and I agree with you. I do the same thing. I want to try and help somebody, and because of the feeling you receive,
yeah.
not the money so much, but the feeling you receive when you know that you've made a difference in that person's life and in their business. It's a great. It's indescribable. It's that warm, fuzzy glow. I guess best way to describe it, that happens. And so you do it. At least we end up doing it for that reason. I mean, there's nothing quite like it. It's just really a great glow.
Well, people have different perspectives on your purpose for being in business. And you know, you want, if you have the mindset that you just want to get out there and conquer the world and that's all you want to do, that's fine. But, you know, in my world, it's a lot more about helping people and helping other people succeed. And part of our business is just really about providing information so that people can make good business decisions and they will be able to succeed as a result of that. And that makes me feel like it's a successful business person.
See, it's interesting you said that if you ask people, what does success mean? Sometimes they don't really know, or they might say, well, money or whatever. Well, Elvis Presley disproved that. It's not about
yeah.
money or fame
mm-hmm.
or
right.
or whatever. And, it's always good to put your criteria down. What is, like you just said, it's helping people succeed as a big criteria for
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know you're successful. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, every criteria might be different for different people. But it's interesting, as both of you are talking, that from a goal-setting standpoint, everyone should have goals if they don't.
Right.
But if everyone does, at least unconsciously. But I think it's in reverse. A lot of people have having goals, meaning I want the house, I want the 2.7 car and the kids, the
right.
you know, the spouse, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't get that, then they resort to doing goals. Like, well, I guess I got to do something about
mm-hmm.
that. So, you know, and they'll start doing. But both of those things, having, what does that really do for you? It really creates a state of being.
Mm-hmm.
And the first goal that people should do that they don't is a state of being goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because what does the house do for you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it creates maybe a state of being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Security.
Mm-hmm.
Shelter.
Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
And but at
mm-hmm.
an emotional level. So in NLP, we always talk about do a state of being goal first. It's not dependent on the having goals. State of being goals can be there without having. But more than likely, you're going to get your goals when you're in a high state of mind. Tony Robbins said it very nicely. Do you succeed to be happy, or do you happily succeed? Which one?
That's that's
Let's go to Jim first. Contestant well, number one.
I'm really I want to back up for a second because if you don't mind, David, I want to take the word being, the state of being. Can you help us define that a little more for the audience? Because that's a maybe a nebulous word that that has some real meaning, and you're attaching some great emotional thoughts to that. I think the audience would really enjoy.
I think that's a great comment and great question. State of being you could interchange with state of mind. What state of mind is everyone seeking truly? Well, some type of peace, joy, happiness. The problem is, or the challenge, or the issue, or the misperception is, they connect it with having first, having the good job, having a relationship, having this, and they think that leads to state of mind, a certain state of mind. I'm saying here right now, you can have the state of mind first, its opposite, which will attract and better support having what you want without attachment. And I think the great spiritual masters know that. Certainly, Tony Robbins talks about it. Some of the great successes of our time know this. It's just opposite. People think they can't be happy until
they have
the next thing.
Right.
And then it's the next thing. But look at some of the people, sadly, that have committed suicide. And by all appearances, they had everything and anything anyone would have wanted, like Elvis Presley. What would make him so miserable? What do you think? Let's give it a stab.
Okay. You want to go first, Laura?
I have no idea. That was a little bit before my time, Jim. You go right ahead.
All right.
Whoa. She's so beautiful, and here she could do this to me.
And we have her husband on line one with the attorney on line two.
what in my mind, I think that people who have I like your definition of state of being, state of mind, is who I am. I am first. In each of us, all three of us here, into the whole world, we have to define who we are. And nobody can do that for you. You have to do that thinking yourself, that self-examination. And at that point, then, as you said so well, David, it allows you to go ahead and then be free to go ahead and accomplish, to go ahead and go out in the world, share with other people, help them reach their dreams, and your dreams will happen too.
Wow, I like what you just said. And after our break, we're going to continue our discussion with the newest members of the Business Innovation Panel, Jim Holmes from Mobile Touch Team. I was going to say term. I was thinking of school. What was up with that? Because we are thinking of school with Laura Shepherd, Stonebridge Bookkeeping, and, of course, you have all these educational programs set up. We'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Business Innovation Panel with two new panel members. I see Jim laughing in the corner. He likes how I say that, right?
I do.
The Business Innovation Panel, Jim Holmes, Director of Mobile Touch Team, and Laura Shepherd, owner of Stonebridge Bookkeeping. We've been talking a lot about innovation and maybe innovation of the mind. I think that's really important. But let's go to the next question. What states of mind support success? I think people really need to know that, learn it exists, and know that it's possible. So let's start with none other but Laura. Laura, what's a state of mind that supports success?
Well, I think the absolute, I'm going to throw this out there. I don't know if you'll remember, but about 10, 15 years ago, there was a movie out, Tim Allen. It was a spoof on sci-fi Galaxy Quest, and their motto was never give up, never surrender. Do you remember that?
No, but I know
it was a hilarious show.
I was going to think you. I thought you were going to say Santa Claus.
Oh no,
right? I didn't do right.
Tim Allen. Yeah.
No, but it was a very funny show, kind of a spoof on Star Trek. But their motto was never give up, never surrender.
Wow.
So you know he would go around saying never give up, never surrender. And that's kind of a funny play on this. But, I mean, that's what you need to have in business. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you have to have that drive and that passion. You have to wake up every single day with this, you know, never give up, never surrender kind of mentality. Yeah. And the things, like I said before, you can't be a victim. You can't have that mentality. So conquering things that come up and accepting those challenges and rising above the challenges and expanding your horizons, learning new things, expanding your skill set, always improving upon what you have, never settling for where you are, always moving forward. That is just huge in the entrepreneurial life.
You had me at hello. That is phenomenal. I'm not kidding. That is well said.
Well, thank you.
Well said. Yeah.
You could be an NLP practitioner. I like that.
She could be.
That was really good.
She could be a poster girl for it.
Oh, please.
Yes, there we go. All right, Jim, it's your turn.
Okay, one of the she touched upon it in one of the things that I think is very is there's a phrase that I live by, and it's called, I'll say it, it's, if it is to be, it is up to me.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And that's part of being, I think, so important for a person, a new entrepreneur, somebody going into business, that it has to be up to them, not only their mindset, but their willingness to go ahead and do what it takes, as you said, to stick with it, to go ahead and keep going forward. But every day, they have to realize that if it's to be, in other words, if it's going to happen, I have to make it happen. It's up to me. I have to get out of bed. I have to go ahead, have my coffee, and determine my plan for the day, and I have to work that plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you're an entrepreneur, you don't have somebody writing your paychecks, and you don't have somebody backing you up. You have to be out there every single day creating the opportunities and realize everything that you want is depending upon yourself.
You know, it's interesting you said that. I've always, for years now, let's say I've been self-employed since 1985.
God, I was in the fifth grade.
I was, like, in the third grade. Wait a minute. Why did I say that? But anyway, I did. But I always thought of this. A lot of people that were, you know, as an employee, they say, well, it's more secure to be an employee. I always thought the opposite. It's more secure to be self-employed.
Absolutely.
And I think it's really playing out that way. I would not want to be an employee now, but nor did I want to back in 1985. It's more secure to be able to control your own destiny. Mm-hmm. I like it. Laura, what do you say?
Absolutely. And, you know, you have to have, it's part of your character. You know, you have to have something that's innate to you that gives you that drive, that gives you that passion. It's the entrepreneurial
spirit
mentality.
Right.
You know, not everyone in the world is meant to be an entrepreneur. There are people who are so perfect at being employees, at being given certain tasks to complete and going home at 5 o'clock. And there are people that are so perfect for that. But, you know, there are other people it's going to make absolutely crazy to live that kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, being told, you know, you be here at this time, you leave at this time, you eat at this time, that would make me crazy.
And what you're saying is a famous hockey coach said, there's singers and there's dancers, know your role.
Very well put, yes. And you're right. We as entrepreneurs, as you so well said, David, we have to go ahead and understand our personalities, our psychological makeup, so that we're comfortable with living in that role of being an entrepreneur. And we don't want somebody to go ahead and tell us what to do, when to get there, what we're going to be doing during the day. We want to have that freedom and that's a neat word we haven't really touched much upon here today, but is a word we probably ought to discuss when we're talking about entrepreneurs and not only as American citizens, but the word freedom. And entrepreneurship drives and thrives on the word freedom, because without that, we're not able to really expand and to do the things we want to and get the rewards that we so justly are willing to risk to go ahead and have happen. David, you're sitting there scratching away at what it is I'm talking.
I liked what you're saying, because you're really describing a value, and I related to it really nicely. Is my number one value for being self-employed is one word, flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura, if I ask you the same thing, what's one of the top values why you're self-employed, you would say, as Laura's thinking about it, Jim, it's your
freedom.
Freedom, okay.
Freedom, absolutely.
And I was going to say independence, because I have a very independent spirit, and I don't, you know, like somebody else trying to control me. So, yeah, I love that thing. But I also wanted to say something to add on what you were saying. With freedom, and this is famous, with freedom comes responsibility.
Yes.
And people who think, well, I'm going to go do this on my own, I can do this better, whatever, you know, freedom, responsibility. It takes a lot to be an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur, and you have to have that mentality every single day, like I was saying, to get up and work harder. You're going to work harder than you ever have. And if you're going to have the freedom, you have to have the responsibility. And when you're also an entrepreneur, you end up being responsible to other people.
No question about it. And if someone said their number one value was security, maybe they would better be suited as an employee.
Absolutely.
So it's really interesting to understand your own values. And basically, you can understand that by seeing where you spend your time.
Mm-hmm.
And where people spend their time is what they value most.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say they spend their time more with family, but they're working all the time, maybe consciously that's their value, but unconsciously it plays out in a different way. And it's all context related. But it's something interesting to understand the workings of the mind, because the workings of the mind will drive your behaviors. It's through your behaviors you get your goals. So if you really want to understand how to get your goals, bypass the middleman, which is behavior, go right to the mindset, and guess what? Voila, you'll know what makes you tick. Jim?
Real quick, David, I want to interject something there. You said behavior, and a lot of people don't really look at or examine what their daily behavior is.
Exactly.
And that's what really tells that person, or should tell that person, who they really are. And you said it, David. I just wanted to jump in on that.
I appreciate
and support
it.
That. I think that's a very valid observation.
Thank you so much. Give some contact information. We're at the end of the show. Jim, how do they get in touch with you?
It's Mobile Touch Team, and our website is mobiletouchteam.com. And that's, of course, a www in front of that. And the phone number is 480- What's my phone number? I forgot it.
I'm not sure either, but we'll get back to it. Let's go to Laura real quick.
Okay, stonebridgeus.com, and our phone number is 480-641-1408.
And Jim, what's your phone number?
480-448-8773.
All right, we got it in, and thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next month, same time, same station. And, wow, we'll have a lot of fun. We'll give a lot of interesting information, help a lot of people get out of their own rut and really participate in the opportunities that are out there right now. We're not doom and gloom here. We are here to show a different path, a different way. Everyone have a good day. See you tomorrow on The Sports Show.